Celebrating National Be a Millionaire Day, part one of 2020 Make Money Moves with Millionaires, Insights with Marta Grace. Subscribe for more of the two-hour workshop.
Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by me, Natalie Torres-Haddad, an international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, along with Vera Egli, an investor, sales and marketing pro, and multi-language podcaster. We will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy in multiple languages. Welcome, everyone. It's exciting to see all these beautiful faces on a Friday night. Happy Friday. I know many of you are ready to just call it a day. And if you're in your pajama pants, don't worry. We're not judging you of anything. It's the perk of being home, right? Welcome. If you did not attend last year, I know this is a different way of doing things now. And a lot of us are probably zoomed out. But I'm really grateful for this opportunity because not only do I want people to be exposed to seeing themselves and what other people are achieving, their successes, but being able to hear what Marta has been doing, what she's overcome, and really just the inspiration she's had on an effect on so many people, including last year's event. So we'll have a few of the participants talk about what they've done in the last 12 months. Last year, we held this on November 19th. So it has been almost exactly 12 months to think, 12 months in a day. All of you have already saw the Eventbrite, so I'm not going to talk so much about our bio. I want her to just get right into it. If you can tell, she is in Vegas. So you see the nice background behind there. She is actually from the Midwest, but is in Vegas today. And that also happens when you're traveling. And I see we have multiple states present. So for those that couldn't attend it, we'll do a edit version of the audio later on, most likely after the holiday. So obviously this will be an opportunity for you guys to ask questions and just really dive into it. So with further ado, I want to introduce obviously our keynote for the night, and not only an inspiration, but someone I've looked up to for obviously most of my life, but many years, because I think it's important to know that we can surround ourselves with people that are not only accomplishing what they want to do, what they set out to do, but also are really overcoming those challenges that many of us face. She happens to be a woman of color. She happens to be an immigrant. She happens to be the first of many in her family. So I think it's important for most of us on this call are actually happen to be all women today too. So that's great. Be able to see ourselves in the likeliness of this. And sometimes when we set high goals, we think that's too high or we're too ambitious. And not at all. If anything, dream bigger, because sometimes we have the universe bring us things that we couldn't even imagine. And so Marta is one of those people. She's a mother of three, an incredible aunt, a sister, daughter, cousin, many things in one. She's also the owner, broker, investor for multiple properties, and she'll talk about more about her company and her businesses, but how long she's investing. And obviously just by looking at her, you can tell she's not that old. And I think that's one of the beautiful things when you come across mentors is it's at different ages. And I think too often on, especially from women of color, we hear like, you have to wait till you're 60 that, you know, you're gonna be able to retire or do well. And not at all. It's how smart you work, not just necessarily how hard you work. So without further ado, I thank her for this time. We're gonna have her get right into it. And we will have an opportunity for questions. If you can see, Valeria Martinez just put herself on camera on mute, but you can ask her the question. And at the time we'll have a go through of some of these questions. I will also ask her a lot of the questions that we had from last year, because most of them we didn't get through, and the fact that they wanted more. And for those of you that don't know, last year we actually had her fly in from the Midwest on a rainy day in LA. When it rains, it's like snow day, so nobody wants to go out. But we had people drive in, fly in. Nadira flew in from up north. Vera was driving for a couple hours from where she is, and you'll get to hear about these amazing women too. So Marta, thank you so much for being here. And let us know, why are you in Vegas too? I didn't even start with that.
So obviously, being from Kansas City, we're big Chiefs fans, and we wanted to come see the new stadium. They're playing the Raiders this weekend. So initially, we were coming for that, and then when COVID hit, they canceled. They're not letting people into the stadium for the game. But we already had the tickets, and we had a friend who's having a birthday here, so we figured, why not? And honestly, that's one of the perks, like, that's what keeps us motivated. Like you work hard so that you can party hard and enjoy your money and all that good stuff. So That's over here. And it's also, you know, part of balancing life and not working too much. My husband's really good at making me get out and have fun. So
I love that. So actually, why don't we start off with that question? Because so many of us are feeling that kind of like, how do we balance work, life, and still be, you know, ambitious with our goals? Because, I like to always mention to people that you are a mom of three and you became a mom of three very young. And I think that's something extremely powerful too, because too often I hear, even today, a lot of people bought tickets and they're like, hey, I can't do it. I got my one kid. And I'm like, you got to hear her story. She never had that. Not to say it's an excuse and everyone has a reason and we have to be able to listen to our voice, of course, our body. But there's a lot of aspects that I always think, I'm like, you need to meet people that have never used that as an excuse. So let us tell us a little bit more about your business and obviously kind of balancing that out.
Awesome. So in terms of balancing that with kids, because I do see kids in laps here, which I love. It's definitely something that you have to time block and give your all. So for us, I think it's always been once I'm home, when it is dinner time or time with the kids, I've gotten a lot better about completely disconnecting and focusing on them, because kids are very vocal nowadays. They know how to express themselves much better than I think we used to. And so they are quick to say, hey, like, mom, put down your phone, or hey, you're not listening when they're telling me a story. So I've gotten better at really balancing that. So when I'm home, I'm fully focused on them. Once they go up to their rooms and do their homework or whatever, then I can jump back on my computer and do some more emails or do some more work. But just feeling like there's a balance, and even just with making time for not just the kids, but my husband and myself, like in the morning, the first thing I do before I even do emails or anything is now we work out first. And so I think that's been huge in terms of just staying healthy, staying energetic, feeling young, so all that good stuff. So that's been our balance. What was your other question?
And I love that. So now jumping into the routine, and I think for many people, they don't know. Sometimes people think of like multimillionaires, like, oh, they have this, you know, funky routine or an elitist morning routine. I've seen some of your routines, and the fact that you mentioned how you work out, kind of walk us through what your morning routine looks like and maybe your end of the day routine. So awesome. I tend to come across a lot of people that don't have a routine, first of all, and don't have healthy routines to help balance all of that, especially with the amount of employees you have, you know, talk a little bit more about that too.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, that's a great question, Natalie. So in terms of getting things done, especially when you have multiple companies, like the reason we got to where we're at now is because we didn't have one income stream. We had multiple. And so with that comes a whole lot of work because you're managing a lot of different businesses. And so for us, it's really been about time blocking. But in that time blocking, you have to make time for yourself. So that's what we do. You know, typically we drop off the kids at like 7 a.m. Now they all drive, which, hallelujah, beautiful. But back then, you know, we drop off our kids around 7, and then you come home, you work out. Like, otherwise, you're not going to get it done, so that you're putting yourself first. And then it's like you jump into everything just feeling so good. And even things like making sure we're eating breakfast instead of rushing off, like all those things. And I feel like everyone I know who is successful has that same mentality of putting themselves first and being balanced, whether it's working out or running or yoga or meditation, whatever it may be. I'm a firm believer in all of that stuff and just really loving yourself. And it makes you a better boss. It makes you a better wife and mom. For sure.
You know, thank you for saying that. She, for those that don't know, I think one of the things about Martha I've noticed is her work ethic, right? She knows how to, I've noticed you balance yourself when it comes to like, I got to do this because my family comes first. I see how you take care of your own family. I see how you take care of other people's family as well. And I like how Vera mentioned, and if there's anything that resonates with you ladies, you know, give us a little snap, because obviously it makes it, you know, you can't clap with a live audience, are very different. But I like how Vera mentioned, she put, last year, Martha actually flew in and she was overcoming a cold. And you know what? And it's funny, when I told her, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. And granted, you know, it's a few hours, but when it comes to traveling, everything that comes, you know, being away for a couple of days, maybe a day for work. And I do that all the time as well. Pre-COVID, we were traveling a lot. It really showed your worth ethic too, because you're like, no, people are here and people flew in to come and see you. So work imbalance is really helpful. For you starting out, because I know obviously where you are today on the multiple properties, where you could talk about that as well. A lot of people are just starting into investing in real estate, whether it's on their own for their own home, whether it's rental property. Can you talk about maybe some of the first initial things that happened when you started investing, and maybe things that you wish you would have like avoided altogether, but obviously was a learning curve for you too?
Awesome. Yeah. So I think when we first got started, one of the big things and really what made it challenging, but now I see how important it was that it was really just us two. It was my husband and myself. And we were everything. Like, we were the person that had to call if you didn't pay your rent. We were the one who got the call at midnight when your furnace or AC went out. And we were the leasing agent. Like, we handled every aspect of that property. We bought it, we rehabbed it, we rented it, we managed it. And even though it was exhausting at the time because we were learning, it was exciting at the same time. We thought, oh, this is so cool. And, you know, the more properties we got, it did get to the point where we could hire help. But knowing how to do all of that stuff from the beginning, I think it's been crucial in order to be able to have staff to create the processes, create the protocols that you need in order for it to be handled the way you want it to be handled when you do hire somebody. Otherwise, if we hadn't learned it on our own, I don't think it would have been, we would have been able to scale to the amount of properties that we have or the amount of properties we manage for others as well, if I didn't know how to do it myself first. So I think that's been huge, is just making sure, whether you learn by doing or even educating yourself. Like, I'm always constantly learning. Like, we're still taking classes. We're, in fact, in the spring, we're taking a class on developing land, which is kind of our new big thing for next year. So that's really exciting. Oh, and I did want to say, if you guys think of any questions, because I know when I'm on a Zoom, I'll think of a question and then I'll forget. So use the chat feature and then we'll be able to remember that later. But so just always learning for me is one of the big things, and always evolving, because we started with residential real estate. So I'll give you guys a little background on what we did. So I was a nurse and my husband was working in a jail for youth. And so for him, it was just really tough. Like, he's usually a really happy, positive guy, and this was just a very sad environment. And so he hated it. He started in real estate before I did. And because I was working as a nurse, we could qualify under my name to buy some rental properties. And so we started off with one fourplex in a little town. It was really run down. Like, in fact, we moved into the worst unit, where there was no plywood. You had to like jump from one floorboard to the next. So we picked that one because the other ones we could rent out quicker and they were in better shape. But started with one unit. And that's another thing I always tell people, is don't feel like you have to hit the ground running. Start with one, you know, make all your mistakes you're going to make with the first one. You don't have to make as many mistakes if you get a mentor, which we didn't have, because we started in a city where we really didn't know too many people. So for you guys, that would be some advice I would give you, is if you plan on investing, start in an area where you have a network, where you're familiar with the area, you're familiar with the values, the properties, and you have people you can lean on for, you know, subcontractors or help with leasing or whatever it may be. Start with where you already have a network and support.
I have to chime in what you just said. The property management side, that is one of the draining things that many of us, when we're starting out, it's like learning how to do that. And that's something that when I started investing, I think with you, I was like, oh, you know, yeah, this is one of the headaches about it. And eventually it was like, when people are like, well, I don't want to have to hire a property manager, I'm like, trust me, for me, I prefer being able to sleep and not have to worry about those calls. Cause yeah, early on, you have to do those things to find out who's the best plumber, who's the best, you know, anyone that you're working with, and getting those vendors and learning along that process. If you do have any questions, send them to me so I can make sure she gets them. I don't want to interrupt her during her question. But also chiming back to, you just said people feel like they have to hit the ground running right away when you don't know, and seeking out mentorship. How do you deal with that? Because I know that's something I'm always struggling with. People are like, I want you to get mentored. And I'm like, I don't take any more mentees. But how do you balance that out? Because you are obviously teaching people as you go. You've helped many people not only own their own investment properties, but multiple after that, right? Because you started off with the first fourplex. So how do you manage that balance? Because I know a lot of these women personally, actually on this call, that have successful businesses and are now seeing themselves in that position where they're constantly getting messages like, hey, I would love to work with you, or hey, I want your pick your brain or advice. And it's like, well, obviously you have to not stretch yourself out then, because we're talking about mental health and everything, but how do you manage to work around that too?
Awesome. So really what we did is we had to create a team of people that we mentored to then become mentors for others. And that's really the only way to scale. I think that's one of the mistakes I made early on, is I felt like I had to do everything and I was really bad at delegating. And everyone who knew me was like, you're gonna burn out, because I would work 12 to 16 hour days while we had three kids. And I still feel like I never did burn out, just because it was always
more and more exciting, and we were always doing something that was new and different. But I did get better at delegating. I did realize the value of that. And so that's what we've done, is we have multiple people that we've trained as mentors. So obviously people are always asking, my husband and myself, what do you guys do? Like, would you mentor me? Or I want an investment property. I've always wanted to invest. We hear that a lot. And so we just partner them up with one of our mentors. And so what we do is there's really kind of a split in terms of the first few properties they do with mentors. There's a split between us and the mentor and them. So it's still worth the time for the mentor, so they're making some money, and still worth the time for the mentee because they're learning while they're making money on their first investment.
That's right on. And I think one of the things that we see is people want to see what the return is, right? And you're just saying it's not just the money that you're investing in, but it's also the time, right? Your time is, that's something I always look back. I'm like, no, my time is worth more. So it's, you know, trying to keeping that afloat. And so I think that was really key. And I think one of the things, Vera asked the question is, did you teach others with the intention of mentoring, or was it more of a natural progression out of necessity? I think that's a great question, because that's something I always ask myself too, how is it starting?
Yeah, great question. We actually mentored them just because they wanted to be mentored. And so we did kind of like a 50-50 split. And initially, obviously, we weren't as busy then. But yeah, as we got way too busy to mentor people, that's when we pulled those people in. And everyone who we've asked has been awesome about it, because they see the value in what they received in mentorship. So yeah, it's easy. I feel like it's easy to ask people for help when you help people. So you put yourself out there, you're constantly doing. And so I feel like we never really have a shortage of people that we can reach out to for anything.
Thank you. And one of the questions we got a lot from last year was, you know, maybe talk a little bit more about, with, if you can share with us kind of those, not necessarily setbacks, but those costly mistakes that, because sometimes we see this on social media, especially where people are like, oh, business is great. This, you know, I had this win today. And it's like, they don't talk about like, hey, I had to pay $1,000 to get that copyright. I had $1,000 to get the accountant to do this, and the legal fees. And then, you know, that all these taxes and all these things that you, it ends up being part of the process. Maybe share some of those things that you're like, never again will I do that. Or I'm glad I did this, because then this could have happened, because you hear horror stories.
I think if there were two things I could have applied earlier on, would have been, for one, the technology that is around now that wasn't around then. If I could have had a system like we do now with AppFolio, and AppFolio is kind of pricey, but it's good for the amount of properties we manage. There's a lot of free ones I can send you guys if you manage a few properties. But having technology where somebody can submit a work order online, they can pay their rent online, all that sort of stuff. I feel like if I had applied that earlier, it would have been a lifesaver. Another big thing that we do differently now, just in terms of the money we use to invest, is we use lines of credits instead of doing the typical standard mortgage. And so that's been a huge, like, I wish we had applied that 15 years ago. 20 years ago.
By show of hands, I know a lot of you have your cameras on. Don't worry, we won't judge. And your faces will not show in these recordings. It's just more for audio. How many of you have invested, whether it's in a rental property or your own home? I know it's a little different. Your home isn't necessarily the same as investing. Okay. And a few of you are in that process, so this is why you're here, right? So first off, congrats for those that are already in that. And then if you haven't yet, don't worry. Obviously, this is why you're here, being able to be part of that. And I always ask the question in the beginning. Last year, we did this, where how many of you actually consider an investor? And majority of women don't identify with that. And I say, well, have you ever invested with, you know, giving money to a family member? Have you ever donated? Have you ever put money into a piggy bank? And then all of a sudden, everybody's hands up. And as women, as we are natural givers, you could say, we want to help everyone. So being able to find some of that balance is really crucial. And I've seen this with Martha. I know, I'm not sure how many properties you have now, but because you have those property managements, maybe talk a little bit about where you started investing too, because a lot of people not just invest in real estate, but they invest in the right type of insurance. They invest in the right type of other streams of income, because it's true. People are like, how much money? I'm like, well, it's not just one place it's coming from. So maybe kind of talk a little bit about diversification, because I know not everyone has those portfolios yet. And when you're starting out, it's just with one place first.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you. And please make sure to subscribe and leave your comments and reviews. To learn more about the podcast, check out the website and Instagram, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, and watch interviews on YouTube and IGTV. To become a sponsor or hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, please visit financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.